The book of Jude. Tonight, the book of Jude. We got into the book of Jude last Sunday night. We'll go back there again tonight and see what the Lord may have for us here in the book of Jude. By the way of introduction, the book of Jude is the last book before the last book of the Bible. Would you not agree with that? And that tells me one thing, ladies and gentlemen. That tells me the book of Revelation talks about the end times, the 7-year tribulation period. It takes you through the tribulation 4 different times. Talks about the second coming 4 different times. There is 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recorded of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation takes you 4 times through the second coming. There's 4 accounts of the first coming of Jesus Christ, and in the book of Revelation, there's 4 accounts of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming is divided up into 2 phases. The rapture of the church, which could happen tonight. Would that not be good? Boy, I thought we might get raptured out of here this morning the way the Lord moved in and have been fine with me. But the rapture is the next thing on God's time calendar. Nothing, not one thing, nothing has to happen before the Lord Jesus Christ can come for the rapture of the church. Not one thing. But there's 7 years tribulation period after that. Daniel's 70th week is what they call in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, verse number 25 through verse 29 or so, talks about Daniel's 70th week. And then you have the second coming of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter number 19. Let me give you this one right here. Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3, deals with 7 churches. Now watch this. I understand they're not, towards dispensationally speaking, I understand they're tribulation churches. I'm not talking about that. But watch the picture is what I'm trying to show you. 7 churches in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then in chapter 4, guess what? John says, I heard a voice when I saw heaven open, and it said, come up hither. Boy, I'm waiting on the come up hither, ain't y'all? That's a picture and a type of the rapture of the church. And then guess what? Y'all, some of you mid-tribbers, maybe some of you post-tribbers or whatever, this will help you. Watch this. The church is not mentioned anymore until Revelation chapter number 19. And I saw heaven open again and a white horse. And there was an army with them. Follow, guess what? That army in Revelation 19 are the folks that went up in the come up hither in chapter 4. Boy, won't that help you a little bit? And so the book of Jude is the little bitty book, 1 chapter, 25 verses, that's going to tell us some things that we need to get ready for before Revelation happens. Now look, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Boy, I like that. We talked about that last week. Sanctified, set apart unto the Lord Jesus Christ and preserved in Jesus Christ. Boy, I don't want to get hung up on that again. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Just in the way of repetition, I like this preserved thing. I'm saved. If you're saved, you ought to like that preserved thing. If you're not saved, you probably don't like being preserved. Maybe somebody else saved you besides Jesus Christ. And if somebody else saved you besides Jesus Christ, you're not preserved. And I would be concerned. If you're trusting in some church to get you there, if you're trusting in some water to get you there, if you're trusting in some pope to get you there, my friend, you're not preserved. But once the Bible says preserved in Jesus Christ, watch this. When I give you this example, I'm going to move on if we don't get hung up. Listen, some of these kids that got saved, let's see, Stephen over there. Stephen, wouldn't you like to go to Disney World? You like to go to Disney World? You ever been? I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take Stephen. Let's get one of these big boxes. We'll have to have a bigger one than that. And let's put him and let's buy a safe. We buy one of those big safes, one of those gun safes. Brother Rusty will donate a gun safe that Stephen can stand up in. We'll shut the door, turn the thing on that deal, and he'll be preserved in that safe. And then we put it on a big box, and then we send it to the post office and say, would you please send this to Walt Disney World? Guess what? Stephen, you've got a guarantee. Once the post office stamps that postage paid, buddy, you got a guarantee you're going to Disney World. Guess what? You're preserved in the safe. Y'all going to make me jump off this stage and hurt myself. preserved in Jesus. Boy, wouldn't that be safe to be in this safe, this gun safe? But my friend, the gun safe ain't got nothing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you get in Christ, guess what? The postage was paid at the cross of Calvary. The United States Post Office stamped that thing paid in full, in blood. Guess what? I'm going to heaven because I'm in the safe and I can't help it. That'll give you the case of the can't help it right there. If you get saved, that'll help you. All right, watch this. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now, verse 3, watch. Here was where we got to last week. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort ye that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now watch this. This is what Jude said. Jude said, this is what I'd love to write to you about. I want to write to you about salvation because salvation is what gets everybody shouting. Salvation, man. You're talking about being preserved in Jesus Christ. Notice how he started out. Sanctified, preserved, called. I'm talking about that's what he started out to tell the people. He wanted to get them to shout. If you want people to get to shout, preach on something that everybody in the whole place agrees on. Salvation by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, no works involved whatsoever. And then people start shouting. Jude said, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. The Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you people in the last days, before we get to the revelation of John on the Isle of Patmos, guess what? I wanted to write to you so bad of the common salvation. I wanted to write to you about how God sanctified it, preserved us, and saved our wretched souls. That's what I wanted to write to you about. But it was needful for me to write unto you about the common salvation. Excuse me. Let me read this again. I got away and got going here. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now watch this one. The word contend means two fighters get into the ring and they're boxing. What are they doing? They are what? Contending. They are to strive. They are to stand up, take firm foundation, firm ground, contend, get ready to fight, and stand up for something that you believe in. Now watch this. He said, earnestly contend, stand up, strive for the faith. There's three kinds of faith. Ready? Watch this one. There's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the faith that saved you. The faith of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that is the faith that saved you. And then number two, there's your faith. There's your faith when you act. Faith is what you believe accompanied by what you, the actual doing of what you say you believe. Faith is putting legs on your prayers. I heard about an old sister. She was praying, and she said, Lord, I pray right now that you'd burn that beer joint down next downtown right down there. Please burn that beer joint down. She prayed for 10 years. And she had a lady in her house, and she said, worked in the house there, cooked and did all the cleaning and all this kind of stuff. And she called her and said, Liza, come here. I need you to help me pray about something. She said, I need you to pray that beer joint down there. I've been praying for 10 years that that thing would burn down. Liza, would you please pray that God would burn that beer joint down? She knelt down by the bed and she said, Our Father, she said, I pray right now that you'd burn that beer joint down. God, do it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And would you believe they went to bed, they got up the next morning, and the lady of the house smelled smoke. She called Eliza. Eliza, come here. You ain't going to believe it. She said, 10 years I prayed. You prayed one time. And that beer joint is burning down. How in the world did that happen? She said, come on out here behind the bar and I'll show you. And she picked up a gas can and a match. I said, Liza, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know how you white folks believe, but us black folks believe in putting feet on our prayers. That's the way it is. Put feet on your prayers. That's faith, earnestly contended for the faith. And then the third faith is what we're talking about here, the faith, the body of doctrine. There is a body of doctrine that we believe. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the authority of the Scripture, the King James Bible, 1611, inspired, preserved Word of God. That's what we believe in. We believe in the second coming of Christ. That's what we believe in. We believe in the saving atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, plus no works at all whatsoever. That's what we believe. That is a body of doctrine. And Jude says, hey, guess what? You're going to have more trouble fighting before the book of the Revelation. You're going to have kids, even more so than in my day. When I grew up in a preacher's home, you kids are going to have to contend more so for the faith than I did. Why? Because the closer we get to the second coming of Christ, the worse it's going to get. We've got knuckleheads now that say the Bible is not the inspired Word of God. We got, I'm saying knucklehead in love and love with charity, amen? I'm talking about, we got knuckleheads that's teaching in Christian colleges that don't believe in the virgin birth. We got Dr. Dumb Bunnies that teach that the swoon theory, that Jesus didn't die, he just fell asleep and passed out from the lack of blood, and they put him in the tomb, and the coolness of the tomb woke him up. That's called the swoon theory, taught in Christian colleges, Louisville Theological Seminary to be one of exact. Guess what? We are going to have to contend for the faith. The closer we get to the rapture, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, we are going to have to contend more so than ever before that book for salvation by grace, for the virgin birth, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ on that third appointed day. My friend, we're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Watch 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If I get there for you, I'll read it for time's sake. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, y'all believe in we're in the latter times? Some shall depart from the faith. Depart from the faith? Depart from what? Depart from the body of doctrine that we, this Word of God, teaches us. Departing from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Seducing spirits, I don't want to go into that because that'd probably make most of you mad because most of that stuff that's coming in on the television now is seducing spirits. And doctrines, plural, of devils. Now, we don't have time to look at this, but in the Bible, God only has one doctrine. So it's the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God. Some of you went to the Bible Institute, you learned that in theology. But the devil has doctrines, plural, of devils. There's a bunch of them. This is what happens in the latter times. Jude's trying to tell us about it here. Look here at Matthew chapter number 7. Look here, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, real quick. 15, Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Then listen to this. You young people, listen especially to this one. You ought to, Stephen, you was asking me something to write down. Write this verse down right here. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What did Matthew tell us? Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. In the latter days, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Notice this. Hey, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, something of this nature, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what that means? That means any missionary that comes through here, if he don't believe like we do, we don't send him our money. Amen. Why? We're not going to be unequally yoked together. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about just little piddly things that maybe we just don't, you know, we ain't for sure all got figured out yet. But I'm talking about if some dude comes in here and says you're saved by, you know, trusting in the Pope and all that stuff. Guess what? He's going out that window right there. Amen. We're not sending one. We're not sending no money to Union University. We're not sending no money to Louisville Theological Seminary. We're not sending no money to produce no other Bibles, a Holman Christian Study Bible. We're not sending no money to produce and get another version. We don't need another version. We like this one. We ain't got this one figured out, so we're going to stick with that, and we're sure not going to send no money over there for them to creep in and to destroy what Jude is trying to tell us about. We sure not. We not. Don't support one and don't believe like we do. Amen. Now look here. Verse 3. It was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. All right? Verse 5. Four. Here's how they do it. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Looky here, there are people that will creep into our church. I know of some, the church that I grew up in, there was a fellow that come in, and he started this. He started taking people to lunch, and he said, "Hey, won't you come and I'll take you to lunch." And then he started saying, "Hey, that preacher ain't telling it right. Let me show you where he said, the Baptist, we shouldn't baptize anymore because Paul didn't mention that in his prison epistles. He's been here before on Wednesday night. I'm feeling real good tonight. I might call his name. He lurked in here before. Well, not here, I don't think, but he has where the building we was meeting at before. And he just lurked in on a Wednesday night. And when he lurked in, I contended for the faith. You people didn't know it, but I sure was trying to fight. Huh? I was contending for that faith right there. And he just slowly just sort of crept on out. And hopefully he didn't take none of y'all to lunch or supper or anything like that. Because why? They creep in. Matthew 7 says they come in sheep's clothing. They look real good to save the saved. And they look real good. They smell real nice. They look all Christian-y and stuff. And then underneath, they're ravaging wolves. Looking to destroy the people. Now watch. They're crept in unawares who were before of ordained. Now if you want to notice this, look at verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Guess what? The prophet Enoch, over there in Genesis chapter 5, guess what? Before of old ordained to this condemnation. Enoch even told us in Genesis chapter 5 there were going to be people like this coming our direction. He said, before of old ordained, they were, Jesus promised that there's going to be some that's going to creep in and try to disarm the flock, if you will, by taking away their Bible, by taking away the resurrection, by taking away the virgin birth. That's what he said. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know how you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? Watch this one. Ready? Let me show you how you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Watch. All right? If you've got a backache, listen. You stand, you come down here, I'll put my hand on you, anoint you with oil, and heal you. If you will, send me your check once a month. That's turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. I wouldn't send one of them jaybirds a dollar, a dime, a penny. I wouldn't send them nothing. You say, preachers, may some be out there, may be okay. They may be, but I ain't taking no chances. I'm going to do what the Bible says and support the local church. Run it through the local church the way it ought to be done. And, you know, if them birds want to do it that way, they need to work through a local church and get them birds to listen, all this crazy garbage, Lord, if I don't get $10,000 this week, I'm going to have to go off the air. Go off the air! If you ain't got a good Bible-believing church to stand behind you and support you, you wouldn't be needing $10,000 anyway because they'd be supporting you because you'd be running through a church and you'd have to be crying on the people under on Social Security to turn the grace of our God into sliviousness. Well, that'll help, won't it? Now watch. Now let's look at verse number 5. Here we go. I'm going to try to get these examples in, and then we'll dismiss, and we'll try to finish this up maybe next Sunday night. Verse number 5, watch this. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Watch. He's fixing to bring to your attention some things. Though you once knew this, how that our Lord... Now watch. Watch this. He said this. He said, you people need to be reminded of stuff. I need to be reminded of stuff. Did you know that sometimes we need to hear a message on salvation? Why? Because we need to be reminded of it. We need to hear a message on hell. Say, preacher, I heard one 2 weeks ago. We need to hear another one. Why? To be reminded of the things that we were supposed to know. That's what Jude said. He said, I would therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. You used to believe this, but you just forgot it. And he said, watch this. Hey, young people, watch this one. Never forget. Never forget what God did for you this week. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget how you saw God sweep through those between those two mountains and come in and visit with us. Don't never forget it. Don't never forget it. That's why we need a video of it. I think Brother John's going to get it. Sometime we need to be reminded of what God has done for us. He said, I'm going to remind you of this, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, watch, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Watch this one. Ready? Let me help some of you. When you see that word saved, it does not always mean saved from hell. The Bible gives the definition of saved. It's found in Joel chapter number 2 compared with Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Joel chapter number 2, which is a direct quote from Acts, or Acts 2 is a direct quote from Joel 2, says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What's the definition of saved? Delivered. Watch this. Therefore, how that the Lord's having delivered the people out of the land of Egypt. Now, that'll help you. I didn't change the Bible. I give you the true meaning. A lot of people say, well, every time you see the word saved, that means saved from hell. No, it don't. Just like every time you see the word baptism, it don't mean water. Every time you see the word church, don't mean a local congregation like you're looking at. The context will always define the meaning. Now watch this one. You say, some of you looking, you all clammed up on me on that one. Watch this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Watch. Look at this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me show you. I need to try to get this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first born, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Talking about Genesis. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Hey, does that mean saved from hell? If it does, every woman that's ever given birth to a child is saved from hell. That doesn't mean what? If you read that again, notwithstanding, she shall be delivered from childbearing. What does that mean? You ladies come as close to death as anyone can come when you give birth to that child. And God delivers you through that. Don't mean you're going to heaven. That means He delivered you through that. Now compare that with over there, I think, let me wrote 1 Peter 3:20. Over there, 1 Peter 3:19, 3:20, somewhere there, it says, told about Noah and 8 people were saved by water. Now watch this one. Watch. Can I help some of you? They were delivered. That didn't mean they were saved going to heaven. That means they were delivered from the flood. Let me help some of you. Noah was saved before he built the ark, or he never would have built the ark. Why would a lost person build an ark? Why would a lost person do what God told him to do? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and because he believed what God said, he did what God told him to do, built an ark, and God delivered them 8 souls through the flood. Amen. Now watch. Back to Jude chapter number 1. Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Now watch. Let's just say, alright, that means saved from hell. Okay? Right, that means that everybody that come through the Passover night that went out from Egypt into the wilderness was saved on the way to heaven. Not on your life. there was a mixed multitude. Does that happen to anybody? Oh, let's keep reading. Watch this one. Save the people out of the land of Egypt. Now all of them's going to heaven, right? Okay. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. Uh-oh. You see. Delivered them out of Egypt. That's physical salvation, Old Testament. Come on now. Amen. And saved them, delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And guess what they started to do? And they come to the land called Kadesh Barnea. And when they come to this part, Kadesh Barnea, they said, hey, 12 of you men go over there and spy out the land. 10 of them come back and said, hey, we can't go over there. Man, them giants too big. Man, them, I'm telling you what, it is true. It's a land flow of milk and honey. But I'm telling you, there's some giants over there and we don't need to go over there. Huh? It just we don't need to go over there. There's two fellows that come back, Caleb and Joshua. They come back and said, hey, what y'all waiting on? Why ain't you got your bags packed? I mean, what you waiting on? That's what it means. Say, hey, what you waiting on? Guess what? Because of their disobedience. I believe, if I, y'all correct me after service, I think I got my story right, but everybody 20 years and older died in the wilderness. And the only people that got to go see the promised land were from that time was those that were 20 at that time, or 20 and under. They got to go along with Caleb and Joshua over into the promised land. Why? Because they believed God, believed what He said. Amen. Now, there's the first example. Now, this is what Jude's trying to say. Look how apostasy sets in. Apostasy, departing from the faith. What is apostasy? I tell you what apostasy is. Somebody that sits in a Bible-believing church that believes right, it teaches right, salvation by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, and they walk out of these doors, and there's two men on bicycles that come and knock on their door come Tuesday night, and they knock on their door, hand them some literature, and now they're going over to the Jehovah's Witness Church or the Mormon Church. Guess what? They were saved. They were saved going to Bible-believing church. They just wasn't grounded in the Word of God. That's why you ought to come Sunday night, Wednesday night, get grounded in the Word of God so them jaybirds can't destroy your faith. And now they're wound up going out. Guess what? They're in apostasy. They have departed from the faith. Yeah, once delivered unto the saints. That's his first example. Number 6, ready? I don't know if we have time to deal with all of this one yet or not, but verse number 6 says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Watch this one. He gives example number 2. Example number 1 was the children of Israel being brought, delivered out of the land of Egypt, and then he had to kill some of them, because they didn't believe God, because what? Apostasy, departing from the faith. Watch, here we got some angels. Over in Isaiah chapter number 14, verse number 12, Lucifer. Lucifer, without going into a long drawn-out thing, we may have to pick up here next Sunday night, but Lucifer used to be second in command. He was the anointed cherub that covereth Ezekiel chapter number 28. Ezekiel 28 says, Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the one second in command over the music department. Boy, ain't that something. He was made, Ezekiel 28, made of pipe. Y'all seen those pipe organs? That's what his body was made out of. Overlaid with sardis stones and all of those beautiful emeralds. He's a pretty creature. Yeah, he was a pretty creature. Let me put it that way. He was a pretty creature. God created him. Guess what? In Isaiah 14, he said, I will ascend my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will 5 different times. Guess what? God says, okay, 5 different times, buddy, you're going to come down. The first one was when he left the third heaven, the abode of God, and got kicked out to the second heaven. Then, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I saw Satan, as it were lightning, fall from heaven. He fell from the second heaven to the first heaven. Now, right now, he's in the atmosphere between here and the sun, moon, and stars. That's what Ephesians 6 says. He's the prince of principalities of the air. He comes in over the airways. The spirit world. You know those crazy folks that you think are talking to dead people. That's the spirit world. I don't want to get on that because I'm going to probably make somebody mad on that deal. Some of you, hey, talking about all that. Well, they talking, there's a fortune teller, and you know what? That fortune teller really did tell me. She probably did. She probably was in tune with somebody else in the spirit world that knew you about as good as anybody else does. Praise your Ouija boards. Man, that's spooky. Man, that's real stuff. You better believe it is. That's why you ought to stay away from it. That's why you ought to stay away from it. It's spirit world. There's other spirits out there besides the Holy Spirit, and you best not get connected up in with them. Amen. How in the world we got in all of that? All these angels that left out the first state, I have no idea. But guess what? When Lucifer left, Revelation 12, he said he took his tail and took a third of the stars with him. Stars are the angels. Angels, Los Angeles, the city of angels. Well, that'll help some of you. Hollywood, Hollywood. Huh? These angels, they left when Satan did. Guess what they did in Genesis 6? You probably wouldn't believe me if I told you. You go home and read Genesis 6, and guess what some of them angels did? Not all of them, but some of them left their own habitation and cohabitated with the daughters of man. Guess what? There were giants in the land. Giants in the land. Now, don't look at me like I'm, 6 foot four is okay. Anything over that's a giant. You don't get nervous or anything. Hey, there was a couple of giants. Brother Jim Chandler's a giant. I'm telling you. I don't know where he come from. But anyway, he's a big dude, man. That's what happened in Genesis chapter number 6. Guess what the Bible says? The Bible says this, these angels, which kept not their first estate, they left their own habitation. Where was their habitation? Well, it was either in heaven or where Satan's throne was. And on this earth, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Lucifer said, hey, I will exalt my throne. Where was his throne? On this earth, in Genesis 1, 1. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to sit on the Mount of the Transfiguration in the sides of the north. The universe is a pyramid. Oh, this is Wednesday night stuff. Yo, we can't do this on Sunday night. And the angels which kept not their first estate. Watch this, 2 Peter chapter 2. Watch this one. We find in the cutting off spot. Hang on. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. This will help somebody. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately... You know what that means? They crept in unaware. Privately shall come and bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. Say, preacher, what's damnable heresies? 5 points of Calvinism. Damnable heresies. Hyper-dispensationalism. That's damnable heresies. Amen. Anyway, y'all, we ain't got time for that. All right. Even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, that's what Jude just told us. Now watch verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Notice verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly. Delivered just Lot, vexed his filthy conversation of the wicked. Notice, that's what Jude is telling us, people. Jude is saying, hey, this is what Jude's saying. Watch, I'm trying to find a closing thought. Watch this. Jude says, hey, if God is going to judge the nation of Israel and open up the ground and swallow them, if God is going to judge those angels and not let them get away with what they did, then don't think He's going to let you and I get away with departing from the faith. If He's not going to let them, let's keep reading. Watch. I'm in Jude again. I'm closing. Let me get this third example, and this will be it. Even as, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. You might want to underline that. Strange flesh are set forth for an example. We just read that in 2 Peter. He said the same thing. For an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Watch, last example. Example number one, children of Israel. Example number two was the angels that kept not their first estate. Example number three, Jude wants to get over to you and I, is Sodom and Gomorrah. What was Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, it was a cesspool of iniquity, sin on every hand. It was a perfect picture of the United States of America today. Went after strange flesh. Y'all remember this? Those two angels that came. Lot came to visit Lot. Lot said, hey, you two men, come on, come to my house. Better get out of the streets before it gets dark, because it gets wild and crazy out here after dark. Y'all ever heard that around here? I wouldn't go over there after dark. Why? I wouldn't go downtown Memphis after dark. Why? I wouldn't go Los Angeles. I wouldn't. I would say Chicago, but that might offend. Let's pick on New York. I wouldn't go to New York City after dark. Why? Because we're just like they are. Lot says, y'all two fellas, y'all better get in his house, because I'm telling you, after dark, I mean, there's some crazy stuff that goes on. Guess what happens? There's some men that saw them two angels. They were probably 33-year-old men. They didn't have wings. And they looked normal like everybody else. The only angels that have wings are cherubims and seraphims. All right? Wings. Now, don't go home and throw all your angels that you got sitting on your mantle and all that's got wings on it. Just rename them cherubims or something. That's all right. No problem. But hey, the angel in the Bible, nowhere has it said to have wings, and none of them are women. They're all men. Watch. And these men saw these two men come into Lot's house. They were trying to beat the door down. Why? They were going after strange flesh. And if we didn't have the children in here, I would tell you, you adults know. Don't you know? Y'all know what they were doing. That you know what they were after. Same thing. It's all over the television. All over the television. Why? Because we're living in the days of Jude. Now they got television shows. I won't call their names out. Listen, I'm not one of those preachers that gets up and says all them crazy things. And I'm talking with all these little kids sitting in here. They hear enough of that. They sure don't need to hear it from the preacher. Amen. So on Wednesday night, when they're back there, we get down to nitty gritty. But I'm not going to corrupt their mind anymore by giving them something to think about. But there's television shows coming out now that pictures that same thing, going after strange flesh. Why? Jude says you better beware. Why? Because Revelation's just around the corner. Revelation's just around the corner. He's coming. Give you three examples. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Get ready. Get ready. He's coming. Be ready to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. All right? Are you saved? You saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you saved and on your way to heaven? Listen, are you saved and know it? All right? Then how many of you are saved and glad about it? Well, then Jude says we got to contend for the faith. That's what he said. We got to fight. Y'all remember that message we heard on Tuesday morning? Brother Stocker stood up talking about fighting. Some of that he was talking about physical. Hey, here's a spiritual battle we need to get into. We need to stand up for that right there. Stand up for that right there. How about you? How about you tonight? You saved? You're on your way to heaven? You know for sure. Hey, maybe some of you saved and just fell off into some of that. Maybe just slowly drifting away. Just it ain't important as it was to you when you first got saved. Maybe it's just not important anymore. Salvation by, oh, we've heard that before, preacher. We've heard it before. I mean, hurry up and let us go. It's a ball game on television. Come on, preacher. Hey, just slowly just falling away. Departing from the faith. nonchalant attitude, don't care anymore. Preacher, we can't fix it anyway. This country's down the tubes. Well, that's true, but hey, we sort of try to prevent it from going down any sooner than what it already is. Amen. When the Lord comes, I want Him to catch us fighting and not sitting in a playpen somewhere sucking a bottle. A lot of churches, when the Lord comes, splits each sky, He go find a big playpen, a lot of churches just sitting in there just waiting on the Lord to come. We need to be fighting. We need to be putting out tracts. It talks about defending for the faith, getting on the radio, making people mad. Contend for the faith. Once delivered unto the saints. How about you tonight?